the name of one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives. Amen. So today is All Saints. Today we're celebrating All Saints. All Saints was November 1st, and All Souls was November 2nd. And it's in those two feast days we celebrate all those who've gone before us. And we celebrate what's called the Communion of Saints. Which is from the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the communion of saints. There has always been this within the Christian tradition that when you die, you no longer bound by space and time. I mean, you're no longer like we are. We're bound in space and time, traveling from past, present to future. But once you die, you leave that. You're no longer in that continuum. Which paradoxically means that you're present to all, you're kind of in eternity, you're outside space and time, but that means you're present to all space and time, which is the paradox. It's like, rather than being stuck in the stream, you're now outside of it, and you can see down upon it. So when, in the liturgy, we said we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There's this sense that we are in communion with all of the people of God who've gone before. All of those who we've loved, who are now no longer here. And even all of the people of God who ever will be. Which is kind of mind-blowing in and of itself. And there's this sense that this is beyond. I mean, when the church talks about the communion of saints, that is in some sense what it's talking about. And then you get these iconography and Christian art and that talks about it. This is one representation of what that communion of saints might look like. This is one from the Eastern Orthodox tradition about what that great cloud of witnesses might be. If you're sitting in an Orthodox church and you're looking up and you see these faces shining down, that's what it's meant to communicate, this great cloud of witnesses. I love some of these, and I apologize for the sunlight today, that it makes it a little hard to see. But anyway, so I like that. Here's a couple modern renditions. I particularly like this one. Just somehow capturing what the communion of saints might be. It's a curious thing that we do, right? In terms of trying to capture this element about what it means that these people who are created in the image of God, but these people who are everyday ordinary people, somehow, some way, encapsulate something. They kind of rise to the occasion almost. There's a sense that there's something about the saints. In part of the way we talk about saints, there's a sense that they're extraordinary. This is Mary and Jesus, right? That there's something extraordinary about these individuals. And so we kind of commemorate them. This is the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And so Christians throughout the ages have tried. This is Joseph and Jesus. Have tried to capture what these very real human lives have looked like. Does anybody know what the gold halo is all about? Why is there a gold halo around these individuals if you see them? Sorry? Their aura? Okay. So that's an interesting way. There's something about them. There's an emanation of some sort. The understanding that in that aura, if you will, or there's something about them that they stand. It's almost like, as if they stand in eternity. They're standing in the kingdom of God. I mean, part of that gold halo is there. It's a reflection of the glory of God. Is part of what it means, but. It's also that they are individuals through whom the glory of God is breaking through. They're individuals here on earth for whom the glory of God broke through into this existence, which is part of what made them extraordinary. Right? And so when artists capture that halo, they're trying to capture that sense of these are individuals who have stood in the kingdom of God and are standing in the kingdom of God and standing in all of eternity. And who mirror and have mirrored, in some sense, the reflection of God's grace onto us. Which is kind of a lovely way of thinking about it. These are Protestants. This is St. Luke on one side, St. Paul. Protestants, I mean, often we don't do saints the way Catholics do the saints. But even Protestants do the saints. St. Luke's, St. James, St. Matthew, St. Paul's, right? We talk about these. We have some way of honoring these saints who've gone before us. These are two examples of St. Lawrence. You can tell because of the gridiron and the wealth that he's about to. You know, there's more of a traditional one over here and more of a modern picture. So the church has tried to, we remember these people who've had extraordinary lives. This is St. Bridget, St. Francis. This is St. Cuthbert, St. Hildegard of Bingen, von Bingen, for whom our stained glass is the inspiration for our stained glass. The writings of Hildegard von Bingen. This is a great cloud of Chinese martyrs. The saints from all the world, these are First Nations saints. Saints from Africa. Saints from Latin America. And there's a whole process within the Catholic Church of, and actually one of those might not be a real saint, it might be a football player, but it's the aspiration of the South Americans to think of, you know, them saints, which is part of what I love is there's this sense of this place. I mean, there's an official process within Catholicism and Orthodoxy by which one is canonized into being a saint, right? And you have to have so many miracles that you've done. And I mean, it's all about the extraordinariness of the individual, which is one element of how the church has talked about saints. But the church has always, and even the Catholic Church has always said that those who have died and are now in Christ are also saints. That it's not just, there's not just this qualitative difference between us and somebody else, that normal, everyday humans can become saints. Desmond Tutu, right? Not a Catholic, but there's a sense, you know, this is from Gregory of Nyssa, the church in San Francisco that celebrates him as a saint. Dorothy Day, who's a Catholic. John Coltrane. Mother Teresa, who has actually been canonized a saint. She was canonized a saint last year. This is Harvey Milk. Martin Luther King, Jr. But it's this element of what I particularly like, as I've been thinking about being saints and what it means to be a saint is this sense of the everyday ordinariness of human beings for whom are reflecting in some sense the glory of God. And what does that look like? And what does that mean for us, right, in our potential to be saints? That here we are, men and women who are created in the image of God. Men and women who don't always get it right. Men and women who don't always, you know, we have our moments where we're ungracious or we're unkind or we're gruff or we're selfish or whatever. And yet we can have these extraordinary moments of self-sacrifice, of giving of ourselves, of great compassion, of great love. You know, and in the fissures and cracks of our lives, there's a way in which the glory of God is able to bust in and shine through us, right? Which is a way of thinking about saints. That in this process of just being on this journey that we're on, we're in a continual state place of being refined and being more fully brought into the fullness of who we are as human beings, more fully as who we are as men and women created in the image of God, who are children, sons and daughters of God. That image from Revelation, the passage that we read, and this is when you know, it talks about these saints who are robed in white, whose white robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That there's always been this sense within the tradition that we are in this process of being transformed into our own saintly selves. Right? Listening this week to, I was listening to NPR and I heard a StoryCorps segment on the radio And StoryCorps is just where people who have stories come in and they record their stories. So they're everyday human beings who come in and just record their stories. And I thought that this one kind of was a great metaphor and exemplified something about what I want to say about saints. So it's a story about these two men. And I'm going to play it right now.
Today, what can happen when you take the time to start a conversation with a stranger? 31-year-old Brian Peterson is a car designer living in Santa Ana, California. Every day, we pass by 38-year-old Matt Ferris, who has been homeless for more than a decade. And then one day, Brian decided to say hello.
I remember walking up to you, there was like butterflies in my stomach. I introduced myself, and I think I apologized to you. I remember saying, I'm sorry for like driving by you 100 times and never saying hi, because you're always outside my building.
You asked me a lot of questions, like what I want to do with my life, things that are important to a person.
One of the first things you told me was that I moved here from Kentucky to be a musician, and some things didn't work out.
Yep.
And then I remember, out of nowhere, I just asked you, can I paint your portrait?
My first thought when you asked that was, oh, I'm an artist. Something I have to recover with.
In that first conversation, I was looking at you and you say you're not photogenic, but I saw the man who moved from Kentucky, the guy who came out here to pursue a career in music, and I hadn't painted in 8 years, but you were the first guy that captured my heart and gave me a subject to paint.
And when you asked me what I wanted to do with the proceeds for the painting, I didn't even have to think about it.
I was trying to get you like hotel rooms and clothes and book
there and she gave me some suggestions.
And you know,
well, that sounds nice, but I want to record a CD.
After you told me that for like the 10th time, I started finding studios for you to record in. In that first recording session, I saw you on the piano, on the guitar, singing.
Yeah.
And then I remember you got to the drums, and there was no drum set. We were like, well, just use synthesized drums. And you told me, no way. And I thought to myself, man, how many areas in my own life have I just maybe gave in to settling for less? And the fact that you wouldn't was a lesson that I've taken with me from that day.
I don't know like how many people will end up here in the album, but it's really helped me a lot to meet some of these who really stuck with me.
For me, I consider you more than a friend. You've shown me things may not always be what they seem, that there's a new way of looking at the world. And everyone deserves to be seen with eyes of love.
Brian Peterson and Matt Ferris are StoryCorps in Santa Ana, California. And Ferris was wondering if anyone's going to hear his album, or you are hearing his album. This song is Throw Me Out of the Ferris, just finished. And if you want to see Brian's painting of Matt Ferris, you can visit npr.org. Their story is going to be archived at the Library of Congress.
So that's the painting that Brian did. What I love about this story is I think it does capture something about the breaking in of the glory of God into everyday life. Right? There's a way that Brian, Matt had come, you know, in search. He had a vision for himself. He had a sense of his own potential. He had a sense of his own possibility. And he goes to California from Kentucky to make it happen, and it doesn't work out for him. He can't make it work, and so he's homeless. And he's sitting there on the street, and he's grimy, and he's dirty, and he doesn't have clean clothes. But the glory within him wasn't diminished. But nobody saw it, right? Brian said he drove by him for a decade. A decade, right? And one day, for whatever reason, he doesn't say, but one day he decides, you know what? I'm going to talk to this man. And he asks him this great question. He's like, who do you want to be? Who are you? What is your aspiration? And Matt finally had somebody who was listening, who was willing to hear who he wanted to be. And Brian's like, wow. And Brian's like, I want to paint your painting. I want to paint your portrait. He hasn't painted in 8 years. And all of a sudden, I feel inspired to paint this man's portrait. And Matt didn't think he was photogenic. Matt didn't see it within himself. But Brian paints this portrait because he sees the man within. He sees the glory of God in the man within. And you can just see it in his face, right? And then Brian is like, let's use this money. You know, let me buy you some clothes. Let me buy you some shoes. Let's get you fixed up. And Matt is like, no, I want to record a CD because that's who I am. That's why I'm here. And Brian's like, yeah, let me get you some shoes and clothes because that feels really unrealistic. And finally, you know, after 10 times, Brian finally listens. And so they record this CD. And even then, there's not drums. And Matt is like, no. At that point, he's true to his call to be who he is. Right? It's also a metaphor for the Beatitudes. Here's Matt. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. And here's Brian. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. And they step into it, and something of the glory of God happens in that moment. We should have halos over both of them. As the sermon ends, right? Part of what we're doing here today is remembering those who have been dear to us, those loved ones who've gone before us, who now are standing in the glory of God. And those individuals who had moments, I'm sure, where they reflected God's glory to us, in addition to having lots of moments where they didn't reflect God's glory to us, right? But that's what I find so encouraging about this, is that doesn't, in some sense, ultimately, that doesn't matter, because we're all in this process of stepping deeper into being called men and women that God creates us to be, that reaches their fulfillment, finally, right, when one stands in eternity. During communion, I invite you to light candles in remembrance of those folks. But right after this, we're going to have a short little litany, and then I'm going to invite you just to stand and say the name boldly of somebody who's in your heart, of a saint who's gone before you, who you care about. And we don't have to all do it at once. Let's let it kind of ripple and roll and play out, and you're going to talk over each other, but I encourage, if there is somebody who you are, if there is somebody who's gone before you, who you want to honor and commemorate today, let's stand and do that. I mean, you can stand as you say the name. We begin back on page 5. When we live in God. When we die in God.